It's D-Day in D.C. on a Saturday on 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980. Denton Day with you up until 3 p.m. Eastern time. We got a jam-packed show. Heavy Metal Chris working overtime. Literally, pun there. He's staying with us for the next 3 hours. Had a great time listening to Doc on a Saturday morning. It's a nice Saturday morning. I'm going to need a little bit of advice from Heavy Metal Chris later in the show. I haven't told him on what yet, but I will throw that to him later in the show. We have a packed show. We got Jamal Forrest of Trapper Dive going to join us at the bottom of this hour. Former Redskins wide receiver Anthony Armstrong is going to join us at 1 p.m. We're going to go national with Cole Thompson at 2 p.m. And then we're going up to Green Bay with my guy Alex Strofe, talk a little bit about that Jordan Love contract. And I'm going to see if Jordan Love's agent wants to take me on. Because if he's getting Jordan Love paid the way he's getting paid after 18 games, surely he can get me paid after at least one radio show, right? That's I'm speaking that into existence. There's a couple different directions that I want to go here. And the phone lines, if you want to jump in, 800-636-1067. You can tweet at me at The Denton Day. We're going to talk a lot about quarterback, obviously. There's not a ton going on in training camp right now. A bit, but not a ton. Yeah, training camp is always like this. It's this weird tease. Because football is starting to become back, but it's not actually back. Nothing is happening. Nothing really is happening. In fact, it's better if nothing is happening. If you have a pretty smooth training camp where you have to scratch and claw for stories, that's probably the best option. As a fan is concerned, that's the best option. You don't want to have the team give you stories the way that the organization in this town has been doing for years and years and years. So I'm pretty okay with the fact that we have to scratch and claw for a little bit of stories. I got the Olympics on. Just a side note. I'm watching some Olympic basketball, France and Brazil. Dear God, Victor Wembanyama is a freak. I don't care about nobody else in this game. Rudy Gobert got dunked on, and then some Brazilian dude threw up gang signs. Don't care about that at all. He probably shouldn't come back in the NBA, but I don't care about any of that. Victor Wembanyama is an absolute freak, though, so we'll keep you posted on this. If you're excited for the Olympics, let me know. I'm a big Olympic fan. You know, I got, I'm on the YouTube TV kick, and YouTube TV, you can record a lot of things. There is really no end in sight for what you can record, so I got all the track events jumping on my YouTube TV recording. They don't start until, like,
Thursday.
Next week. Yeah, Thursday. So, but I'll tell you what. August 4th, that 100-meter final with Noah Lyles in it. I'm going to be lugged in. A local guy bringing sprinting gold back to D.C. So I'm listening to Doc driving in here, right? Doc before me, Denton Day with you here now on 106.7 The Fan. I'm listening to Doc driving in, and my mind's kind of wandering. You guys are talking about quarterbacks a little bit, and my mind is wandering a little bit after I hear the mention of quarterback. You know, I just came back from a week-long vacation that wasn't long enough. I would still love to be in Bermuda chilling. But I just got back from vacation. And when you get back from a vacation in this line of work, you do your best to plug into everything immediately. And sometimes it very much is system overload because I don't want to feel like I missed anything. But obviously, Jayden Daniels is the focus of this offseason and really this season. And I'm driving in here listening to Doc, and I'm hit with this realization that if we take a look at just the NFC East, we're not going to go further than that, but if you take a look at just the NFC East, Washington has the best quarterback situation moving forward. When I look at everybody else in the conference, I will take what Washington has with Jayden Daniels, completely understanding. I haven't seen this dude play a single down. I haven't seen this dude in pads outside of like a photo shoot for the rookies that they did 2 months ago. I am in full understanding of all of that. Yet I look at what he is, what I think he is going to be, and the way that the organization has handled him. And I look at everybody else in the NFC East, and it's like you're walking into the room and everything's on fire. You have Daniel Jones, who, as much as I've loved the Hard Knocks thing, the offseason Hard Knocks, if we're being honest, the offseason Hard Knocks has really been enjoyable because it feels like every single episode, it's the giant brass finding ways, getting creative to dunk on their quarterback. I mean, maybe Daniel Jones is into the kink shaming thing. Maybe that's what he is. I'm not going to, if that's your thing, that's your thing. but his entire front office has been dunking on him this whole offseason. It's very clear they don't want him. And by the way, I don't think they're smart enough to think this is some sort of ploy. Like, this is some weird motivational tactic. If we get on national television and go viral every single week for dunking on our quarterback, he's going to magically get better. We call that bad culture in the working world. That is not a good way to make somebody better. I look at Jalen Hurts. He is the only other. The Eagles are the only one even in consideration for being at the top of the NFC East as far as a quarterback is concerned. But I also have four eyes. I got glasses if you haven't seen me. So I got four eyes. And all four of my eyes watched Jalen Hurts last year. And Jalen Hurts was noticeably worse last year than he was 2 years ago when he earned that money to get become one of the highest paid quarterbacks in professional football. But last year he didn't play like he was worth $53 million. Last year, he was worse. If you're just a stat reader, he was worse in every important statistical category last year. He became a turnover machine. They weren't winning. And then the way that season ended was a disaster.
That is a dumpster fire of the ending of a season.
And I mean, it really was. It was glorious. You know, when our team is having a dumpster fire, it's nice to look across just up 95 a little bit and say, nope, we're not the only ones. And they got a lot more money invested in that dumpster fire than our organization had invested in the disaster that was the end of the Ron Rivera thing. But we had hope on the horizon because of Josh Harris. Eventually, Adam Peters joins on. Their hope right now is effectively in the hands of Kellen Moore. And Kellen Moore, 5 years ago, he was the next Sean McVay. You know, Dallas's offense at the time was up. Everybody was excited about it, and then they get to the end of the season, and it wasn't anymore. And then a couple years later, he leaves Dallas, and then he goes to work with Justin Herbert, and that doesn't work out, and he leaves there. And you're looking at the Philadelphia Eagles thinking, oh God, if they have another kind of season like that, it's going to be a whole nother big change in that organization. So I don't love the way they are right now. And then that brings me to Dallas. Oh, yeah, if Daniel Jones gets off by getting shamed, I get off by watching the disaster that is the Dallas Cowboys. Don't shame me. I am perfectly okay and comfortable in my skin. I love everything that has come out of Dallas Cowboys training camp. There is a saying that I believe the saying is thriving in chaos. I'm going to amend that for the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to keep the second part of that saying because they're in chaos right now. They're in it. They're not thriving. They're not even surviving. Like they're just getting by. But hot damn, is this organization chaotic? And it was made significantly worse as far as Dak Prescott is concerned. Yesterday,
it's a two-way street that they have wants. I have wants. I think I've deserved that. Understanding that this is a business and. Obviously, I want to be here. Talking about growing up, this is where I've become a man. So, but at the end of the day, it's a business, and you know, I want to be here. But you know, when you look up all the great quarterbacks I watched played for other teams. So my point in saying that is that's not something to fear. That may be a reality for me one day. May not be my decision. So. That's the freedom that I have is be where your feet are, make the most of it, be confident in yourself, make your team better. I love my teammates. I love that locker room. I love everything about being out here in Oxnard and being a Dallas Cowboy. So that's what allows me to be free and focus and understand that in time comes, who knows what comes. As I said, I've been through a lot of adversity personally that it's about, you know, being thankful for where you are, hugging and loving on your loved ones and taking it one day at a time and handling the rest when it approaches.
That is the sound of a guy that knows he ain't going to be in Dallas much longer. I mean, he whipped out the Ron Rivera, be where your feet are. We know that is famous last words around these parts. You start whipping out the be where your feet are, something's not going right behind the scenes. It's a great saying. There's a lot of truth to being where your feet are. But when you start whipping out that when you're not getting paid, and then Tua Tagovailoa gets paid? I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know that Tua is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott is.
Did you hear the Jerry Jones comments this week?
Which ones?
The ones where he was comparing himself to Patrick Mahomes?
I have that actually, Chris. That's in our folder. So if you wouldn't mind, pull that up just in a quick second, because I would love for the people to hear this one, because you're right. Thriving in chaos, surviving in chaos, getting by in chaos is a way to describe Jerry Jones. This dude's senile. Here is the comments that you just referred to of him comparing himself to Patrick Mahomes.
Blake, we are so involved in trying to see where we are with our situations that is a major part of seeing the leaves fall, seeing the time go by, seeing this day and this week, how they go by. And by the way, fault, I have in my life played option quarterback so many times and wait until the last leaf on the tree. And I, if you want to picture an option, pure option quarterback going out to the sideline, I have run that ball and kept it and not hand it off to the back, not pitch it back, not throw it. And I have run that thing all the way out to the sideline before I made the decision. Because I couldn't get whatever it took to, it wasn't right for me to make the decision. And so what our fans, what you're seeing, what we deal with is we're buying time. We're option quarterbacking, and we're going on out towards the sideline, and we haven't handed it off. We haven't pitched it. We're trying to make our mind up what to do. Does that sound like Mahomes to you? A little bit? Okay. It do. It really do. So having said that, I'm trying to give you a description here. That's what we're doing. And we're waiting for something to happen in the morning.
I don't partake in the use of recreationals, heavy metal. Listening to that made it feel like I was on drugs. I mean, that has to be the sound that Aaron Rodgers hears when he goes into a dark room with the old ayahuasca. That was the most confusing.
Jerry Jones.
The most confusing, off the rails comments. By the way, Jerry Jones was a football player. He was an offensive lineman. Not a lot of experience at quarterback. I would also encourage him to watch the NFL a little bit more frequently. The options don't work in the NFL because life comes at you really fast, which is exactly where they find themselves. Life has come at you very, very fast. Jerry Jones has effectively spent this entire offseason crying broke. I, for one, love it. It's a lot of fun when a billionaire that you know is not broke is now crying broke because he does not want to pay his quarterback. And he doesn't want to pay CeeDee Lamb, and now CeeDee Lamb isn't at camp, and all of these things. One of the deals is going to get done. It'll likely be CeeDee Lamb. And then on top of that, they got to do this whole song and dance again with Michael Parsons in like a year. But Dak is done in Dallas after this year, because if you wanted to keep him, you would have paid him already. That's how this process goes, and that's why Washington's in the best spot right now with Jayden Daniels having never played a football game, is because at the very least, there is the option of this turning out really, really well. There is the option, the possibility and potential of Jayden Daniels being the guy. I'm not going to say savior, but you can say savior and I'll agree with you. He has the potential of being that guy for a franchise that for 20 years, my entire lifetime, has not had a quarterback that has lasted any longer at a high level than 4 years. He is going to be that guy, and everybody else in the division right now is about to collapse because the Giants are going to go through this whole we got to find a quarterback thing again. The Dallas Cowboys are going to go through this whole we got to find a quarterback thing unless you are, maybe you're a Trey Lance truther. I would imagine those meetings are very, very small. You probably do them on a front porch, not even a basement. You get a front porch and you can hold a meeting there. Everything else is falling apart in this division with the exception of right here. With that said, they didn't make it the easiest in the world this week because Jayden Daniels is splitting reps with Marcus Mariota. People aren't thrilled about Jayden Daniels splitting reps with Marcus Mariota. I'll tell you why the panic meter should be very, very low with this news. We'll do that when we get back here. It's Denton Day, D-Day in D.C. on a Saturday right here on 106.7 The Fan. It's D-Day in D.C., 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the team at 980. You can hit me up on Twitter at The Denton Day. I got back off of a cruise ship to find out that everybody is up in arms about Jayden Daniels not getting all of the first-team reps. And I got to tell you, This, to me, if I'm putting this on a panic meter, it's excruciatingly low. Like, we're at as low can go as far as panic is concerned here. And the reason is very, very simple. Everything this offseason is new. Everybody with eyes can look at Jayden Daniels and say, that guy's going to be the quarterback this year. He was drafted number two overall to be the quarterback. I think it's absurd to have expectations of him being C.J. Stroud. That's absurd. That's not fair. But you know he is going to be the quarterback. You know he is the future of the franchise. But from an organizational perspective, I don't think it's the dumbest thing in the world to get all your quarterbacks a little bit of reps with the ones the first week of training camp. Getting everybody in the building, really working on installing offense. You know, you get work with OTAs and mini camps and things of that nature, and the assumption is that guys are going to spend time watching film when they're not at the facility, whether on vacation or whether away just doing whatever they're doing. The assumption is that they're going to get plugged in, but this is your first real opportunity for everybody on the roster to work with one another. So I'm not upset at all about Jayden Daniels splitting some reps with a Marcus Mariota. Hell, maybe like a Sam Hartman gets in sometime this week and takes a little bit of reps with the ones. All of that to me is perfectly fine now. And I emphasize now, there's a timeline here that needs to be followed. There's a preseason game coming up very, very soon. You know, preseason is kind of whatever. You're not really getting a full look at everything, right? We've seen coaches kind of, they play around a little bit with the preseason. But a preseason game is coming up. After the first preseason game, that is where I'm drawing the line and saying, all right, cool. Now Jayden gets all the reps. You got everybody out there. You get everybody real game experience for however much snaps, however many snaps, however maybe limited snaps for a guy. Like if Jayden goes out there in preseason game number one, plays 10 snaps, moves the ball, cool. I'm done. You can put Mariota in the rest of the way. You can put Driscoll, Sam Hartman. You could put bring Logan Thomas back on for a night and put him out there quarterback. I don't give a damn. But after that preseason game, that to me is where this changes to where now it's Jayden. Now Jayden is getting all of the reps with the ones moving forward because he has now established himself as I am the guy. Now Jayden, to his credit, he was asked about this, about the starting quarterback competition in the heaviest of air quotes, the heaviest of air quotes. I loved his answer, though, and this is what Jayden said.
Odd question for you. When's the last time you were not the official starter at this point in whatever camp you've been in?
2 years ago at LSU.
Do you like having to compete for that role as opposed to saying you know you're going into the year as a starter? Or do you prefer the comfort of like, okay, I kind of know that and I'll be work on different things?
Nah, I mean, I like competing. You know, I'm a competitor, so regardless if I was announced a starter or not, you still got to compete. You know, you still can't be content of your job, you know, comfortable. I think it's just your job and still the deal. You got to go out there and compete. So for me, it's not a problem at all. You know, I like competing. That's up to DQ and AP for the decisions and stuff like that. But for me, I can control how hard I go out there and practice and how I compete.
Love it. This is the mentality that I want from a rookie quarterback in his first training camp. It's entirely overblown that when you say something like we are splitting reps, or you can just name Jayden quarterback, it's entirely overblown that all of a sudden the competition switches off. You know, there have been guys here that has burned the fan base in the past, so maybe there is some PTSD with that. But he knows why he's here. Everybody knows why Jayden Daniels is here. So whether he's named the quarterback, whether he's not named the quarterback, we all know that he is the quarterback. Adam Peters knows he is the quarterback. We have gotten more information as the offseason has progressed about what draft night looked like. Some of that information is directly from the team and their social media and their YouTube series and all those things. Some of it is from other teams YouTube series, because now everybody got to have a YouTube series. We got Hard Knocks on HBO, but everybody got to have a YouTube series to keep fans engaged. I don't hate it. I'm a sucker for this sort of stuff. They were so adamant that Jaden was their guy. From really like the meeting point, it feels like they know he is going to be the quarterback. They know it. So I'm not upset about this at all. It's a non-story. And if anything, it's getting your other guys comfortable and accustomed to the potential of having to step in if necessary. Now, God willing, that does not happen. But as this organization has showed us for years and years and years, they have never been at the forefront, pioneers, shall we say, of preparation, of being prepared if something bad is to happen. You know what the good organizations in the NFL do? They prepare in the event where bad things happen. So while you know that such and such is the starting quarterback, you also are prepared in the event where a game like football, where injuries happen, and they happen frequently, you're prepared. I'm totally okay with this. In fact, I'm actually thrilled that this is the direction that this organization is going, because to me, it showcases we understand what needs to happen. We understand what a successful training camp looks like, because you have guys in this building now that have built and manufactured successful training camps and understand how winning organizations operate during the offseason. I also do like, I heard this from Dan Quinn earlier in the week. I posted it on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at The Denton Day. I'll read some of your tweets in a second on the Jaden Daniels thing. I did like, though, that Dan Quinn had an opportunity to use the term position flex this week, and he did not. That made me incredibly happy. So big time thank you to Dan Quinn for that one. But I got a couple of tweets here. My man D. Hizzle says, zero level of concern right there with you. We all know that Jaden is the starter. This is being overblown. And it is being overblown, but there is nothing to talk about. This team has done a very good job of keeping things close to the vest. So in not giving us a ton of things to talk about, Jaden Daniels not getting all of the reps becomes a massive thing to talk about. And we've seen in practice, I don't pay too much attention to the social media stuff, especially when there's no pads on. You know, the accuracy throwing into the net is super cool. It's really impressive. It means nothing. And we all know that. We fans who are educated and smart in this realm understand that it is sick when Jaden Daniels delivers pinpoint accurate throws into a net. We got to be accurate for that damn thing to go in there, right? That's all super cool, super good and well, but it doesn't really mean anything. I'm excited for pads to come on because at the very least, while training camp is still incredibly scripted, while it is still most of the stuff that you're going to see on social media, look, the team's not posting anything bad about the number two overall pick. They're not going to post something about Jaden Daniels throwing an awful interception that gets taken back to the house in a drill. That's not going to happen. But I'm excited to see what it looks like in pads just because we have not seen that yet. And I think you'll get a much better understanding, a much better, more comfortable understanding of what he is going to look like once he gets in pads. We'll continue this conversation. Jamal Forrest, Trap or Die Podcast, going to jump on and join us next. You can hit me up on Twitter at The Denton Day. Are you concerned about Jaden Daniels not getting all of the full team, the full-time first team reps now? Let me know at The Denton Day. We're back next. Jamal Forrest joins us. D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan of the Team 980. D-Day in D.C. on a Saturday. Denton Day with you here. We're talking all things Commanders. Training camp finally begun. It feels like it jumped up on us quick, but also feels like it couldn't get here soon enough. I'm ready for full-time football to be back. Another guy that I'm sure is right there with me, my guy Jamal Forrest, who's good enough to join us here. You hear him on the Trap or Die podcast in association with the great folks at Hogs Haven. Jamal, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, Dan, man. It's good to speak with you, boss, man. Appreciate you getting me up.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to start with Jaden Daniels because he is the main focal point this offseason. What was your immediate reaction when Dan Quinn said, we're splitting reps at least for the first week of training camp?
I thought it was interesting, but it didn't necessarily surprise me given the nature of their mini camps and OTAs. I know back in that moment, there was something where, you know, their practices, they had their one side of the field was filled with their ones and twos, and then the other side was filled with like twos and threes, and they were mixing and matching back then as well. So I did think that it was interesting to hear it, given now you would like to kind of give one person, or ideally you would like to give one person majority of the reps, but at the same time, it's been a practice that they've been doing for a couple of months now. So, I guess we'll see. I do think the bigger thing is kind of wondering what those joint practices and even the preseason games will look like. Right now, it's only a couple of days into training camp. So I think it's a storyline that you just have to watch as we continue going forward.
At this point, you know, I would have never imagined asking you a question like this years ago, but I think it's a fair one. Do you care more about the joint practices than you do the preseason stuff, at least as far as Jaden is concerned?
Yeah. Honestly, not even just Jaden. I know we're talking about him, but think about it last year too, Ben. One of the things that really it's crazy. One of the things that really stood out last year, then if you remember, is just how, there was a lot of conversation concerning the defense and then even offensive production and just the team practices, right? But then when you go to Baltimore and then you figure out like, yo, this secondary, you know, I'm seeing like we're arguing on live streams or even like I think the Ravens stream the joint practices on their YouTube or something like that, right? And you're starting to see some chinks in the armor, and lo and behold, that full season in itself was disastrous for the Commanders secondary. I think from that experience alone, for anybody moving forward, understanding the importance of a joint practice and how those reps, those intense reps, like for a day or two, however long they're out there with the opposite team, I think those are just as important, if not as important, as the preseason game. So, yeah, I'm all for the joint practices, and it's good, and it's pleasant to hear that you have multiple sessions with two different teams coming up. So I can't wait to hear about those.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring up that Ravens practice, because I remember watching that live stream and there were some points in that practice where I thought Emmanuel Forbes in particular was playing really well. And then there were some points in that practice where, as you mentioned, you're starting to see the armor crack a little bit. We heard a lot of good things about Emmanuel Forbes this time last year. We're now a week in and we're starting to hear a lot more good things about Emmanuel Forbes. What's your feel on him? How are you handling some of the positive things that have come out early about him?
Well, My personal opinion, so first of all, to hear that he's around, so he said out of his mouth, I think he said 17 pounds or 18 pounds heavier than he was a year ago. So that's encouraging. I think obviously one of the things coming into the league was the fact that he was so light in his frame, and what also contributes, or what also is a byproduct of him being so light, is his unwillingness or willingness to tackle, which, you know, it wasn't that evident that rookie season, and even still when he was at Mississippi State, like it wasn't that great. I mean, people tried to make excuses like he didn't get hurt, he played in the SEC, but he made some business decisions when he was in college too. So I think hearing some good things about Emmanuel Forbes is all around his frame and his size, and I think that's really good. But when the pads come on, when you see some preseason games, you're going to know a lot more. But what I saw from Emmanuel, like, he flashed a lot last year. And I think it's frustrating to know how disappointing of a season it was from my perspective, my personal perspective, because I was a fan of him after watching his coverage in college. But it's like sometimes, you know, you have those rookie moments where you're just baptized and you can't get a break at all. And I think that's something that Forbes dealt with a lot. You'll talk to a DB coach or something like that, and they can be way more technical than I can when I tell you some things that's going on. But from his eyes and how he's able to still even read patterns and cross understand the route combinations, he was there for the most part. It's just sometimes when you give those lapses, those slight lapses in the NFL, they can turn out to be explosive plays. And I think those are the unfortunate breaks that you saw from Emmanuel Forbes last year, and hopefully, you know, the coaches this year can really get them on track.
Jamal Forrest with me here, Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan. You hosted the Trap or Die podcast. You can find him on Twitter at @LetMaulTellIt. When you look at the defense as a whole, what is the biggest question mark for you as we enter the first, you know, real week of pads? We'll start to get the joint practices and preseason games. What's the biggest question mark for you?
We talking about cornerbacks. It remains in that secondary. One of my biggest things, then I think about competition in itself, right? I think that it's open season on a lot of spots of this roster. You know, they brought in Mike Davis to help compete at that that cornerback position specifically, right? And then obviously Jeremy Chinn as well. He's a prototype where you can, I mean, he fits fine well in the box, right? But you got a couple people who can do the same thing that Jeremy Chinn can do in terms of like stylistically, right? But then at the same time, when you look at your cornerbacks, you lose Kendall Fuller, who had, it wasn't the best of years last year, but he was probably your most consistent cornerback for whatever that is worth. But you lose that, and now you're dealing with Ben St. Juice, Mike Davis, Manuel Forbes, and you're hoping to see who rises to the top in that aspect, right? But then you look at your secondary from the safety standpoint. You got Quan Martin, Derek Forrest. You have Jeremy Chinn, Percy Butler, like some other guys out there too, and it's just a mixed bag of who is going to step up. But at the same time, there's no solid one or two cornerback. Obviously, Sam Steele, I don't know why I butcher his name sometimes. You know, he's a slot guy. And you can obviously understand what his role is going to be for these coaching staff. Like, they kind of solidified that. Who knows where else they're going to have him line up, but you know he's kind of relegated to the slot at least early on. But you don't know what those outside cornerbacks are going to look like, let alone the safety spot. Like, where's the consistency going to come from? Jeremy Chinn, you know, all for – not to say he's a – I don't want to say anything in terms of, like, he's a poor player. But his inconsistencies in Carolina led him to a one-year deal, a prove-it year deal, a prove-it type of contract with the Washington Commanders. So it's like you really got to be aware of these guys. And who knows about the undrafted free agents or the later-round picks. You're hoping that they find a way to really make a case and push these top guys, because if they're good enough to even make a roster, that kind of shows you how much faith these coaching staff have in the role that they may play in this secondary. But that is the main concern for me, is like, how is this secondary really going to play out? I really like how they deal with the linebackers, so that's not a concern. But it's that secondary that I'm really focused on.
Jamal, I'll get you out of here on this. We'll flip sides back to the offensive side. I've been really enamored with, you know, Jahan since he got here. You had that first year with Scott Turner, of all people, where he has a ton of success. You know, last year was a bit of a struggle. Are you optimistic that we see much more of the rookie Jahan Dotson this year, now that he should, you know, knock on wood, have a quarterback that is consistent and good in Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some form of a bounce back. I think what's unfortunate with Jahan, you know, he didn't have a ton of drops last year, right? But I think the context in which he had some of those drop passes is probably what concerns people. And I think those are the ones that stand out. He only had, I think, 4 or 5. But at the same time, when you don't have that many targets, right, or a few fewer targets than what you had as a rookie, those drops stand out. And obviously from a press coverage standpoint, you got to hope that, you know, he did his offseason parts where, you know, he's working on some releases, his hand usage, things like that, how he can really separate from press coverage at the line. That was something that he really struggled with in college, because if you can't get off the line of scrimmage and press coverage, it doesn't matter where they put you, right? You can play at the X, you can play at the slot, right? It don't matter, because they can put hands on you at either spot of the line. It has no bearing in terms of what you can do if you can't get off the line. But for Jahan, in terms of a player, I think it all comes down to, one, your work ethic in the offseason. How badly do you want this, right? I think even he said it. One of the things, even though these players were frustrated, though they didn't, like, outright say it, they were frustrated in terms of how they were playing, in terms of the enemy scheme and things like that. He even acknowledged that a lot of this had to do with the fact that he wasn't as good as he wanted to be last year. So I love that. Self-awareness and understanding that he wants to get better. It all shows about what he wants to do on the field. But coming into the league, like, his ability at the catch point is amazing. What he can do in terms of at the top of your routes, and how he can stem defenders up and even have those shake moves at the top and create separation. Like, his athletic ability is top tier. That's no denying it. His ability to go get the football at the catch point is no denying it. It's all about how you can play when you're facing these more aggressive coverages, because if they can get you out of the game in that standpoint, you're in trouble. But for me, I think that Jahan can bounce back. I believe that he was able to really, really address some of the issues that he had. It's just all about, you know, what can he show? And hopefully, you know, it is something that we can brag about in a few weeks.
Jamal, greatly appreciate the time on a Saturday, man. This is a whole lot of fun. I wish we could do it for longer, but alas, I'm up against the clock. So we'll do this again soon, my friend. This is great.
It's all good, man. We can get you on Trap or Dive, when we can chop it up.
Absolutely. That is Jamal Forrest. You can hear him on the Trap or Dive podcast. He was good enough to join us here on 106.7 The Fan. You can find him on Twitter at LetMaulTeller. All right, coming up, we wrap up hour number one. Anthony Armstrong is going to join us at the top of the hour to get a little bit of wide receiver talk with a former Redskins wide receiver. But coming up next, a former quarterback struggling in his new home. I'll fill you in on that when we get back here. It's Denton Day, D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. To start this segment with that, it's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day. You can follow me on Twitter at The Denton Day. I'm scrolling on my Twitter timeline, and up pops an article from Seattle. I'm like, why do you care about an article from Seattle? Well, a guy that used to play here at quarterback that I was told the future, when I was adamant that the team last year needs to address this position in the draft, specifically with a guy from LSU who now plays here, not patting myself on the back, but Pat. The howlers and the contingency of Sam Howell fans were on me like locusts. I'm an idiot. This is all Eric Bieniemy's fault. Sam Howell's the savior. He's going to go win Seattle a Super Bowl. All of the asinine things that you could think someone could tweet out about Sam Howell and defending him, I was on the receiving end of. I'm not saying that it brings me joy to read this. However, I smiled a little bit when I read from a reporter in Seattle that this is the first sentence of the tweet. This is like one of those compilation stories, literally the first sentence of the tweet. Sam Howell is alarmingly inaccurate so far in training camp. You don't say. Maybe the fifth round pick, who the year before was a first round pick, just ask Ron Rivera, he will tell you. Maybe he was not the savior. I don't wish any ill will towards Sam Howell. I hope he succeeds to whatever version of success keeps him around, keeps him getting paid for a little bit. With that said, this is, I didn't need the validation, but damn it, I will take it if it's placed on my doorstep. This team is moving in the right direction, and Sam Howell, who had he had bright spots here, he is a backup quarterback. It is on full display for the NFL. Seattle is now experiencing it. This guy's a backup quarterback. And in fairness, they brought him in to be a backup quarterback. But the fan base of this organization, I'm going to call it zombified. I don't know if that's the correct word for this. I'm gonna go ahead with it, though. The fans of this organization were so zombified by brokenness that they legitimately could not tell a good thing coming to them if it was drafted number two overall. If it was very clear that Sam Howell was not going to be the quarterback at this in this organization moving forward. The idea of trade back and build around Howell. Oh, my God. I would have been lying on 495. If that ended up happening last year. He's alarmingly inaccurate there. He was alarmingly inaccurate here. And God bless Adam Peters for coming in and getting Jaden Daniels. He is the future. D-Day in D.C. on a Saturday. Denton Day with you here. We're talking all things Commanders. Training camp finally begun. It feels like it jumped up on us quick, but also feels like it couldn't get here soon enough. I'm ready for full-time football to be back. Another guy that I'm sure is right there with me, my guy Jamal Forrest, who's good enough to join us here. You hear him on the Trap or Die podcast in association with the great folks at Hogs Haven. Jamal, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, Dan, man. It's good to speak with you, boss, man. Appreciate you getting me up.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to start with Jaden Daniels because he is the main focal point this offseason. What was your immediate reaction when Dan Quinn said, we're splitting reps, at least for the first week of training camp?
I thought it was interesting, but it didn't necessarily surprise me given the nature of their mini camps and OTAs. I know back in that moment, there was something where, you know, their practices, they had their one side of the field was filled with their ones and twos, and then the other side was filled with, like, twos and threes, and they were mixing and matching back then as well. So I did think that it was interesting to hear, given now you would like to kind of give one person, or ideally you would like to give one person majority of the reps, but at the same time, it's been a practice that they've been doing for a couple of months now. So You know, I guess we'll see. I do think the bigger thing is kind of wondering what those joint practices and even the preseason games will look like. Right now, it's only a couple of days into training camp. So I think it's a storyline that you just have to watch as we continue going forward.
At this point, you know, I would have never imagined asking you a question like this years ago, but I think it's a fair one. Do you care more about the joint practices than you do the preseason stuff, at least as far as Jaden is concerned?
Yeah. Honestly, not even just Jaden. I know we're talking about him, but think about it last year too, Ben. One of the things that really it's crazy. One of the things that really stood out last year, then if you remember, is just how you know, there was a lot of conversation concerning the defense and then even offensive production and just the team practices, right? But then when you go to Baltimore and then you figure out like, yo, this secondary, you know, I'm seeing like we're arguing on live streams or even like I think the Ravens stream the joint practices on their YouTube or something like that, right? And you're starting to see some chinks in the armor, and lo and behold, that full season in itself was disastrous for the Commanders secondary. I think from that experience alone, for anybody moving forward, understanding the importance of a joint practice and how those reps, those intense reps, like for a day or two, however long they're out there with the opposite team, I think those are just as important, if not as important, as the preseason game. So, yeah, I'm all for the joint practices, and it's good, and it's pleasant to hear that you have multiple sessions with two different teams coming up. So I can't wait to hear about those.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring up that Ravens practice, because I remember watching that live stream and there were some points in that practice where I thought Emmanuel Forbes in particular was playing really well. And then there were some points in that practice where, as you mentioned, you're starting to see the armor crack a little bit. We heard a lot of good things about Emmanuel Forbes this time last year. We're now a week in and we're starting to hear a lot more good things about Emmanuel Forbes. What's your feel on him? How are you handling some of the positive things that have come out early about him?
Well, My personal opinion, so first of all, to hear that he's around, so he said out of his mouth, I think he said 17 pounds or 18 pounds heavier than he was a year ago. So that's encouraging. I think obviously one of the things coming into the league was the fact that he was so light in his frame, and what also contributes, or what also is a byproduct of him being so light, is his unwillingness or willingness to tackle, in which, you know, it wasn't that evident that rookie season. And even still, when he was at Mississippi State, like, it wasn't that great. I mean, people tried to make excuses, like, he didn't get hurt, he played in the SEC. But he made some business decisions when he was in college, too. So I think hearing some good things about Emmanuel Forbes is all around his frame and his size, and I think that's really good. But when the pads come on, when you see some preseason games, you're going to know a lot more. But what I saw from Emmanuel, like, he flashed a lot last year. And I think it's frustrating to know how disappointing of a season it was from my perspective, my personal perspective, because I was a fan of him after watching his in coverage in college. But it's like sometimes, you know, you have those rookie moments where you're just baptized and you can't get a break at all. And I think that's something that Forbes dealt with a lot. You'll talk to a DB coach or something like that, and they can be way more technical than I can when I tell you some things that's going on. But from his eyes and how he's able to still even read patterns and cross understand the route combinations, he was there for the most part. It's just sometimes when you give those lapses, those slight lapses in the NFL, they can turn out to be explosive plays. And I think those are the unfortunate breaks that you saw from Emmanuel Forbes last year, and hopefully, you know, the coaches this year can really get them on track.
Jamal Forrest with me here, Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan. You hosted the Trap or Die podcast. You can find him on Twitter at @LetMaulTellIt. When you look at the defense as a whole, what is the biggest question mark for you as we enter the first, you know, real week of pads? We'll start to get the joint practices and preseason games. What's the biggest question mark for you?
We talking about cornerbacks. It reigns in that secondary. One of my biggest things, then I think about competition in itself, right? I think that it's open season on a lot of spots of this roster. You know, they brought in Mike Davis to help compete at that cornerback position specifically, right? And then obviously Jeremy Chinn as well. He's a prototype where you can, I mean, he fits fine well in the box, right? But you got a couple people who can do the same thing that Jeremy Chinn can do in terms of, like, stylistically, right? But then at the same time, when you look at your cornerbacks, you lose Kendall Fuller, who had – it wasn't the best of years last year, but he was probably your most consistent cornerback for whatever that is worth. But you lose that, and now you're dealing with Ben St. Juice, Mike Davis, Manuel Forbes, and you're hoping to see who rises to the top in that aspect, right? But then you look at your secondary from the safety standpoint. You got Quan Martin, Derek Forrest. You have Jeremy Chinn, Percy Butler, like some other guys out there too. And it's just a mixed bag of who is going to step up. But at the same time, there's no solid one or two cornerback. Obviously, Sam Steele. I don't know why I butcher his name sometimes. You know, he's a slot guy. And you can obviously understand what his role is going to be for these coaching staff. Like they kind of solidified that. Who knows where else they're going to have him line up, but you know he's kind of relegated to the slot at least early on. But you don't know what those outside cornerbacks are going to look like, let alone the safety spot. Like, where's the consistency going to come from? Jeremy Chinn, you know, I don't want to say anything in terms of like he's a poor player, but his inconsistencies in Carolina led him to a one-year deal, a prove-it type of contract with the Washington Commanders. So it's like you really got to be aware of these guys, and who knows about the undrafted free agents or the later round picks. You're hoping that they find a way to really make a case and push these top guys, because if they're good enough to even make a roster, that kind of shows you how much faith these coaching staff have in the role that they may play in this secondary. But that is the main concern for me, is like, how is this secondary really going to play out? I really like how they deal with the linebackers, so that's not a concern. But it's that secondary that I'm really focused on.
Jamal, I'll get you out of here on this. We'll flip sides back to the offensive side. I've been really enamored with Jahan since he got here. You had that first year with Scott Turner, of all people, where he has a ton of success. last year was a bit of a struggle. Are you optimistic that we see much more of the rookie Jahan Dotson this year, now that he should, knock on wood, have a quarterback that is consistent and good in Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some form of a bounce back. I think what's unfortunate with Jahan, he didn't have a ton of drops last year, right? But I think the context in which he had some of those drop passes is probably what concerns people. And I think those are the ones that stand out. He only had, I think, 4 or 5. But at the same time, when you don't have that many targets, right, or a few fewer targets than what you had as a rookie, those drops stand out. And obviously from a press coverage standpoint, you got to hope that, he did his offseason parts where, he's working on some releases, his hand usage, things like that, how he can really separate from press coverage at the line. That was something that he really struggled with in college, because if you can't get off the line of scrimmage and press coverage, it doesn't matter where they put you, right? You can play at the X, you can play at the slot, right? It don't matter, because they can put hands on you at either spot of the line. It has no bearing in terms of what you can do if you can't get off the line. But for Jahan, in terms of a player, I think it all comes down to, one, your work ethic in the offseason. How badly do you want this, right? I think even he said it. One of the things, even though these players were frustrated, though they didn't like outright say it, they were frustrated in terms of how they were playing, in terms of the enemy scheme and things like that. He even acknowledged that a lot of this had to do with the fact that he wasn't as good as he wanted to be last year. So I love that. Self-awareness and understanding that he wants to get better. It all shows about what he wants to do on the field. But coming into the league, like his ability at the catch point is amazing. What he can do in terms of at the top of your routes, and how he can stem defenders up and even have those shake moves at the top and create separation. Like his athletic ability is top tier. That's no denying it. His ability to go get the football at the catch point is no denying it. It's all about how you can play when you're facing these more aggressive coverages, because if they can get you out of the game in that standpoint, you're in trouble. But for me, I think that Jahan can bounce back. I believe that he was able to really, really address some of the issues that he had. It's just all about, what can he show? And hopefully, it is something that we can brag about in a few weeks.
Jamal, greatly appreciate the time on a Saturday, man. This is a whole lot of fun. I wish we could do it for longer, but alas, I'm up against the clock. So we'll do this again soon, my friend. This is great.
It's all good, man. We can get you on Trap or Die when we can chop it up.
Absolutely. That is Jamal Forrest. You can hear him on the Trap or Die podcast. He was good enough to join us here on 106.7 The Fan. You can find him on Twitter at LetMaulTeller. All right, coming up, we wrap up hour number one. Anthony Armstrong is going to join us at the top of the hour to get a little bit of wide receiver talk with a former Redskins wide receiver. Coming up next, a former quarterback struggling in his new home. I'll fill you in on that when we get back here. It's Denton Day, D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. To start this segment with that, it's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day. You can follow me on Twitter at The Denton Day. I'm scrolling on my Twitter timeline, and up pops an article from Seattle. I'm like, why do you care about an article from Seattle? Well, a guy that used to play here at quarterback that I was told the future when I was adamant that the team last year needs to address this position in the draft, specifically with a guy from LSU who now plays here, not patting myself on the back, but Pat. The howlers and the contingency of Sam Howell fans were on me like locusts. I'm an idiot. This is all Eric Bieniemy's fault. Sam Howell's the savior. He's going to go win Seattle a Super Bowl. All of the asinine things that you could think someone could tweet out about Sam Howell and defending him, I was on the receiving end of. I'm not saying that it brings me joy to read this. However, I smiled a little bit when I read from a reporter in Seattle that this is the first sentence of the tweet. This is like one of those compilation stories, literally the first sentence of the tweet. Sam Howell is alarmingly inaccurate so far in training camp. You don't say. Maybe the fifth round pick, who the year before was a first round pick, just ask Ron Rivera, he will tell you. Maybe he was not the savior. I don't wish any ill will towards Sam Howell. I hope he succeeds to whatever version of success keeps him around, keeps him getting paid for a little bit. With that said, this is, I didn't need the validation, but damn it, I will take it if it's placed on my doorstep. This team is moving in the right direction, and Sam Howell, who had, he had bright spots here, he is a backup quarterback. It is on full display for the NFL. Seattle is now experiencing it. This guy's a backup quarterback. And in fairness, they brought him in to be a backup quarterback. But the fan base of this organization, I'm going to call it zombified. I don't know if that's the correct word for this. I'm gonna go ahead with it, though. The fans of this organization were so zombified by brokenness that they legitimately could not tell a good thing coming to them if it was drafted number two overall. If it was very clear that Sam Howell was not going to be the quarterback in this organization moving forward. The idea of trade back and build around Howell. Oh my God. I would have been lying on 495. If that ended up happening last year. He's alarmingly inaccurate there. He was alarmingly inaccurate here. And God bless Adam Peters for coming in and getting Jaden Daniels. He is the future. He is going to be the one that restores this franchise and this organization to glory. And we'll all be celebrating together. We'll let bygones be bygones. I don't need any apologies. I'm not asking for it. We'll let bygones be bygones. But hot damn, we're going to be celebrating a lot of Jaden Daniels for years to come, so much more than we did with the fifth-round pick that was supposed to be a top-five pick the year before. Again, just ask Ron Rivera. All right, coming up top of the hour, Anthony Armstrong, former Redskins wide receiver. We'll get his thoughts on Jaden Daniels splitting time, why that might be beneficial for the wide receivers, along with just some other general training camp thoughts. That when we get back, Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. To start this segment with that, it's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day. You can follow me on Twitter at The Denton Day. I'm scrolling on my Twitter timeline, and up pops an article from Seattle. I'm like, why do you care about an article from Seattle? Well, a guy that used to play here at quarterback that I was told the future when I was adamant that the team last year needs to address this position in the draft, specifically with a guy from LSU who now plays here, not patting myself on the back, but Pat. The howlers and the contingency of Sam Howell fans were on me like locusts. I'm an idiot. This is all Eric Bieniemy's fault. Sam Howell's the savior. He's going to go win Seattle a Super Bowl. All of the asinine things that you could think someone could tweet out about Sam Howell and defending him, I was on the receiving end of. I'm not saying that it brings me joy to read this. However, I smiled a little bit when I read from a reporter in Seattle that this is the first sentence of the tweet. This is like one of those compilation stories, literally the first sentence of the tweet. Sam Howell is alarmingly inaccurate so far in training camp. You don't say. Maybe the fifth round pick, who the year before was a first round pick, just ask Ron Rivera, he will tell you. Maybe he was not the savior. I don't wish any ill will towards Sam Howell. I hope he succeeds to whatever version of success keeps him around, keeps him getting paid for a little bit. With that said, this is, I didn't need the validation, but damn it, I will take it if it's placed on my doorstep. This team is moving in the right direction, and Sam Howell, who had, he had bright spots here, he is a backup quarterback. It is on full display for the NFL. Seattle is now experiencing it. This guy's a backup quarterback. And in fairness, they brought him in to be a backup quarterback. But the fan base of this organization, I'm going to call it zombified. I don't know if that's the correct word for this. I'm gonna go ahead with it, though. The fans of this organization were so zombified by brokenness that they legitimately could not tell a good thing coming to them if it was drafted number two overall. If it was very clear that Sam Howell was not going to be the quarterback at this in this organization moving forward. The idea of trade back and build around Howell. Oh my God, I would have been lying on 495 if that ended up happening last year. He's alarmingly inaccurate there. He was alarmingly inaccurate here. And God bless Adam Peters for coming in and getting Jaden Daniels. He is the future. He is going to be the one that restores this franchise and this organization to glory. And we'll all be celebrating together. We'll let bygones be bygones. I don't need any apologies. I'm not asking for it. We'll let bygones be bygones. But hot damn, we're going to be celebrating a lot of Jaden Daniels for years to come. So much more than we did with the fifth-round pick that was supposed to be a top-five pick the year before. Again, just ask Ron Rivera. All right, coming up top of the hour, Anthony Armstrong, former Redskins wide receiver. We'll get his thoughts on Jaden Daniels splitting time, why that might be beneficial for the wide receivers, along with just some other general training camp thoughts. That when we get back, Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.